you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Batting seventh and warming up in the bullpen, the catcher, number 12, A.J. Pierzynski.
A.J. Pierzynski.
Now Pierzynski with two outs, top of the ninth. Well hit, right field. White Sox take the lead. A.J. Pierzynski says, take that, Cubs fans.
MLB veteran for 19 seasons.
You play against A.J., you hate him. You hate him. You want to kill him. But you play with him, you hate a little less.
There's only one guy I can tell you that knows every rule in the book, and that's A.J. Pierzynski.
Two-time American League All-Star.
I always tell people I'm famous for two things in Chicago, striking out and getting punched in the face.
Barrett punched Pierzynski right in the grill.
2005 World Series champion.
It's a gunner and a White Sox winner.
This place is electric.
Analyst for Fox Sports.
The only thing I remember about Bozo was did you ever get to do the grand prize? I could see you being big in the grand prize game.
Yeah, my motor skills are my finest attribute.
But I could see you leaning over and kind of cheating a little bit.
And they wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, they wouldn't have said anything.
They would have been like, oh, good job.
Host of the Foul Territory Podcast.
Chris Getz.
What's a successful 2024 for you as the GM, your first year?
I mean, I think we've got to earn the trust of our fans back. We've got to establish some credibility.
Hold on, before you dig in, didn't Rick say that last year?
And they want the curtain call, and they got it from their catcher, A.J. Pierzynski.
A.J. Pierzynski with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We love talking to A.J. Pierzynski of Foul Territory. White Sox legend with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. What's up, A.J.?
How y'all doing?
We're doing well, man. How do you think White Sox fans... What'd you say?
I was going to say, you guys are doing better than the White Sox are, then.
Oh, yeah, it's not hard, dude. They're 50 games under 500, man. It's like...
Did you ever think you'd say that about a team in Chicago?
No.
We've seen some bad ones, but this is pretty historic.
I mean, we knew this thing was going to be bad, but, like, I mean, what's the worst thing about it as you're watching it? It's hard to dissect. What's the worst thing?
I don't know. What's the worst thing? I mean, where do you even start? I mean... The 50 games under 500. Should we start with that? Yeah. I don't know. What's worse than that? I mean,
the manager, the manager, the GM, or the players. You can pick one to discuss.
Well, I mean, I never want to blame. You know, it's hard to always, as a former player, you know, and I know some of the players. It's hard to blame the players. I mean, listen, they're big league players. They still have skills. That's why they're there. You know, was the team constructed as a 100 win team? No, but I mean, they're still big league players, and the thing is, you know, you look at it and you say, who's having an above average year, or even an average big league year? There's really not anybody. Tommy Pham's the only guy in the starting lineup. I guess Robert, but he missed forever. But Tommy Pham has been there, you know, even he missed a month. That has over 700 OPS. So, what are we? You know, what's the criteria to judge who? What's a good year? You know what I'm saying? So. I mean, the pitching's been better than expected. I think Crozier and Fetty have been good. I think Cannon's come up down to the staff. You know, but other than that, the hitters haven't performed. The bullpen's, you know. Listen, before the year started, you guys know this. You looked at the team. You had young starting pitching, young lineup, bad bullpen, more than likely. That equals 100 losses. Now, I didn't think they'd be almost at 100 before we get to August, but they're on their way.
What do you do with the fact, I mean, Dylan Cease, less than an hour ago, completed a no-hitter. Ronaldo Lopez is an all-star. Chris Sale could win a Cy Young Award. They're about to trade Garrett Crochet, it seems like. That's an all-world rotation if they were all here, but soon none of them are going to be here.
Yeah, but you can't look at it like that because they're not going to spend the money to keep them. So, yeah, it'd be great if you had Sale. I mean, Sale, yeah, listen, the White Sox were never going to give him the contract that the Red Sox gave him. So that's unrealistic. The White Sox made a great move that they thought would help the organization for the next few years with Cease. And Cease has been up and down. Listen, I'm super happy Cease did a no-hitter because he's a great guy. I talked to him funny. And I was mad he didn't throw out the game I was broadcasting when he got to the last out of the ninth and gave up the hit to the ride. So I'm happy, very happy for Dylan. But, you know, some of the pieces they got back, that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for this year or even next year. They're looking at 2 or 3 years down the road, and they're trying to find pieces to develop. And that's why he trades Cease. And where Lopez was a free agent, they traded him and Giolito last year. So, I mean, I get what they're trying to do. It's just at some point you want to see some success on the field.
So where are you in this moment, AJ? Because, like, I don't want to trade Crochet because I really like that dude. And I think he's got ace moxie. He's got, like, ace characteristics on top of the pitching. But I see the wisdom in doing it because of how far they are away and how the system has changed. Rebuilds take longer. Where are you on Crochet in trading him?
I mean, listen, what does he have? How many more years of control? Does he have 2 more years?
Two more.
Right of control?
Yeah, two more years. And reports today say he wants a contract extension upon the trade.
Well, I mean, of course he wants a contract extension. I mean, that's kind of a way to control where you go, right? Mm-hmm. Why would the White Sox not give him a contract extension? They believe he's going to be healthy and he's going to be the ace of their staff. Why would they not give it to him? That would be the question you want to be asking. Why would if the White Sox sends him and said, hey, we'll make you a fair contract for 6 or 7 years. Now, I know they don't go past 4 years, but they did with John Danks after they told Burley they wouldn't go 5 years, and they signed John Danks a 5-year contract. You know, that why would he not want to stay? Then why do you trade him? If he's willing to accept the contract extension, you're the team that knows him the best, why would you not offer him that same deal? Now, listen, if you can get a house for him, if you can get, you know, 4 or 5 future major league impact and, you know, players that are going to contribute, then, I mean, you almost have to make that move. But, gosh, it'd be hard to see him go, just like it'd be hard to see Robert go, because these are guys that can help you not only this year, but if you sign them to longer-term deals, they can help you in the future.
But I mean, you know that, like you said, right, they weren't going to give Sale that deal. They're not going to give these guys this deal. So it leads a lot of White Sox fans to just say, so what the hell's the point of the entire exercise?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You're gonna have to talk to Chris Getz and you're going to talk to Jerry Reinsdorf about that. I don't know that much about it. I mean, I just know looking out from the outside, looking in and what the fans are talking about. And as a White Sox fan, what I see. Yeah, the point is you're trying to build the best team you can. And, you know, we had Dan O'Dowd the other day on our foul territory, and he's like, you need aircraft carriers. You need guys on your team that are aircraft carriers, and they can carry the load and help you in more than one way. And I think Crochet can be one of those guys if he's healthy, and I think Luis Robert can be one of those guys if he just continues to grow as a player. You know, now is Colson Montgomery down there, Noah Schultz. I mean, a lot of these guys down in double and triple A, are these guys going to be guys that can contribute and help you win? We don't know that because we haven't seen them, but you know, you need more than just those two guys in order to try to compete. Yes, they're in the AL Central, but the AL Central is better. I think the Royals have now figured out, hey, we're getting a new stadium. We're going to spend money. The Guardians always seem to figure it out. The Twins have always been good since they moved into their new stadium. So I think there's a lot more questions than there are answers. I think the Tigers are going to be better, too, because I think, you know, at some point the Tiger fans are going to get sick of and Illich family is going to have to spend some money. So it's going to be tougher, I think, than it has been in years past. But what's the direction? What's the plan? If you're going full rebuild, then you almost have to sell Crochet and Robert.
If that's what you're doing, you're probably right. He's AJ Pierzynski from Foul Territory and from Fox Sports. You and Jason Benetti, we heard the cut there. You were at Wrigley last weekend. You've seen the Cubs a bunch. Are they hurting in part because they don't have any aircraft carriers, to use your Dan O'Dowd? It feels like they could use a superstar.
Yeah.
They don't have one.
Yeah.
Yeah? Tell us.
Yeah. All right. Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm doing the White Sox Mariners game on Saturday. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, I've had the Cubs a few times this year, you know, or and talked to enough people, Jesse Rogers and some of the reporters that are on the Cubs beat. And the thing is, you ask them, they don't hit and they don't have power. They don't have power in a lot of positions where in the big leagues you need power. And Bellinger is brought back, but he hasn't hit the same as he did last year. Swanson hasn't hit really since he's been over there. Catcher has been a black hole for him the last couple of years. Michael Bush has done a nice job, but their third baseman hasn't really been. I mean, Morel hits a home run or strikes out. I mean, that's kind of where he's at right now. Their outfield, Ian Happ, hasn't had a great year. Suzuki's been up and down, been hurt a lot. So it's, yeah, you know what you said, they don't have enough aircraft carriers. They just don't have enough power. They don't have enough power, and they don't have enough offense to compete with the Brewers team that everyone says, how are they doing it? Well, they got some really good players. I know Yelich is out, but Contreras, Yelich, some of the other guys they brought in, Ortiz at third base, and you know, Willy Adames, they've done a nice job of piecing it together, and that's why the Brewers are in first place.
Cubs have been pressing, is what they've admitted to every once in a while, and it's certainly been awful for more than 2 months now offensively. Is that a real thing? Were you ever on a team, AJ, where you're like, oh, man, we're not good enough on offense, and then everybody starts pressing and it stays bad because you're putting pressure on yourself? Is that real or not?
I mean, listen, we're competitive. If you make it to the major leagues, you're a competitive person. And you want to win, and you want to do great. And I never understood people like, oh, he got a contract. He doesn't want to play as hard. No. Like, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but when I signed a contract, I wanted to do more. And so pressing, yeah, there are pressing, because when you dig a hole and you're supposed to be a good team, the Cubs are supposed to be a pretty good team this year. Yeah, you start pressing. If you're, I hate to single out Dansby Swanson, but if you're Dansby Swanson, you look up there, you're hitting .215, and it's almost August. Yeah, you're like, man, this has been a rough year. I need to figure it out. I got 2 months to go. So, yeah, you just start trying to do more, and a lot of times less is more. So if you know, let's back it up. Instead of trying to get four hits every bat, let's try to have four good at bats, or let's try to hit a ground ball to the shortstop or the second baseman, or whatever it is, and take baby steps. And you know, you might get a bloop hit and things take off. So yeah, you do press a little bit, but I don't know. I've been on both sides of it, and you know, it just sucks when you're having a bad year. It's just miserable. Everything's miserable. The food, everything, the plane trips, the media, everything is just miserable because you're just like, gosh, how can I get out of this?
The food's even worse? That doesn't seem fair.
Of course. Food tastes bad. Food tastes much worse when you're not playing well. Trust me, if you're on the White Sox this year and you're 27-77,
yeah,
food don't taste very good.
Oh, man, that doesn't seem right.
It's too bad they have good food there, too.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like the campfire milkshake.
Yeah. I know. I definitely got to get one of those on Saturday.
Yes, you do. We're talking to AJ Pierzynski from Foul Territory. How would you inject more offense into this sport?
Make strikeouts mean something to the hitters. I mean, that's it. Strikeouts don't matter because the analytics people say they don't matter. And they're actually, you know, if you talk to some analytics people, they'll say like, oh, if you strike out, it actually helps you more than hitting into a ground ball or, you know, flying out. They're like, oh, well, you know, strikeout, well, at least you got, you know, pitch count up and you fouled off a couple, and you, instead of like, you know, hitting a line drive, your first or second pitch, you know, you struck out, at least it took three pitches, so it's more valuable. If you want offense to go up, make strikeouts matter again. And that way it puts emphasis on putting the ball in play, puts emphasis on, you know, hitting and running, bunting, things like that, and the offense will go up because there'll be more guys on base, more guys focused on contact. Right now it's like everyone goes up there, even little guys, are like, oh, if I hit 20 homers, I'm going to get paid. But you get paid on your power, and you get paid on walking and power. So if you take strike three right down the middle, you know, it's 3-2 count. They're like, oh, well, at least you got six pitches instead of, you know, if I put it in play, something good might happen. Hey, maybe the infielder boots it or you know, it goes to a hole, and then we have a guy on base. You got to make strikeouts matter, and I don't know they ever will again.
Right, that's the obvious follow-up, right?
What a great answer, though. What a great direct answer, because all the different rules that get changed, and then what you could do in the future, like we've been talking about, you know, tightening and regulating the strike zone, but as long as the strikeout is okay, and it's strikeout or homer, and most people are fine with that, So would you do a rule that de-incentivizes strikeouts? That would be a fascinating thing. If, like, you strike out 120 times in a year, your salary goes down. Like, something crazy like that to incentivize it, AJ. It might be an interesting thought.
It would be, but it'll never happen because,
right,
you know, I like home runs, and I like, you know, bat flips, and I like emotion, and I'm not the old, I don't want people to see the old guy in the log, because I'm not. I love emotion, and I love guys celebrating, and I love all that stuff. It's not going to change because people get paid off hitting home runs. You get paid off power. So until that changes, and you incentivize a Luis Arraez or somebody like that that can hit .350, like Luis Arraez can hit .350 and win batting titles, and he's going to go to arbitration, and they're going to be like, yeah, but you only hit 7 home runs. Right, so he's not going to get paid what the guy who hits .210 but hits 30 homers, you know, has a higher OPS and has a higher WAR because, you know, they walk more and they hit a couple more home runs. But because Luis Arraez is a singles guy and a contact guy and a he won't get paid as much. So that's why people swing the way they do. That's why pitchers pitch the way they pitch. Every guy is trying to strike everybody out because they get paid for velocity and they get paid for strikeouts.
Yeah, yeah. You can draw a straight line from Luis Arraez losing an arbitration to Pete Crow Armstrong not being a contact guy. There's a direct line there. AJ, it's 15 years since Mark Burley was perfect. Ramon Castro did a nice job that day. Any regrets not being behind the plate as we celebrate that anniversary again and again and again?
The only regret I have is actually, no. You know what? No. As time, I mean, when it happened, I mean, I was so happy for Mark. Dude, listen, I was so happy for Ramon. I was so happy for Mark. I was just, it was just like the coolest thing because I was like, dang, I got to see a perfect game. And I had the best seat literally in the house. Now, listen, Mark is a good buddy of mine, and he rubbed it in my face the whole time. I mean, during the game, he's like, I'm going to throw a perfect game. You're not going to be catching. And I'm like, yeah, dude, but I hope you get this because this is going to be amazing. And he got it, and I was so happy for him. And then years down the road, obviously, Humber threw his, and I was able to catch it. And the first text message I got was from Mark Burley saying, congratulations, I'm so happy you got a perfect game. Like, so, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, as a competitor, you want to be out there. But, I mean, there's been, what, how many perfect games? 22, 23 in the history of the game, and I've been a part of two of them. You know, one watching, which was a lot less nerve-wracking than being actually in the one that I got to be a part of. So I was just honored to be there for Mark, and I'm so happy for Mark. And it's funny, I texted him yesterday and said, happy anniversary, and he texted me back, for what? And I was like, dude. I was like, for you benching me. And he was like, oh, man, I had to look it up. And he's like, yeah, that's what happens when you're old and can't play anymore. You got to take days off or something. So, I mean, listen, it's great. And like I said, I'm so happy that Mark was able to do that. And just the whole career and just to be a small piece in what Mark Burley did was pretty awesome.
What would you say if I told you that not me, not you, but Matt Spiegel here was in the eighth row and he wept when Mark Burley completed the perfect game?
Well, that's pretty cool. I like that. Tears aren't a bad thing. And it was a big moment. I mean, to see that happening with Hawk's call, and I'm sure obviously Speaks couldn't hear that from where he was, but to hear the call, like, you know, I mean, I've told the story before. People like don't believe it, but Early told me he was going to throw a perfect game before the game started, and he goes out and does it. And he wouldn't let me out of the locker room because he said, you know, you have to stay in there for superstitious reasons and this and that. And every inning, he'd come in and laugh at my face that I wasn't playing. So, I mean, I wept a little bit too because I was mad I couldn't be out on the field.
All right, because I contended that if Burley didn't cry, Spiegs might have been the only person who did. So you're saying you shed at least a tear.
Well, I mean, it might have been a tear of sweat when I was trying to be the first one out there so I could get in all the pictures since I wasn't on the field.
Smart.
It's just I was coming from a miserable place in life just like a year before that, AJ, and then like you have the good fortune to be sitting behind the plate to watch that. Like you said, only 24 of them all time. It's like it was special stuff that day. So you understand the tears. I appreciate the support, man, very much.
I guarantee you we're not the only person with tears that day.
There you go. We talk about Burley for the Hall of Fame. John Lester comes up too, and he was just in town doing games for Marquee. You don't have to make a statistical case for those guys, but I'm wondering how you think about the Hall of Fame. Like, do you have an instinct on it when it comes up to you now on foul territory? Do you think about it? And like, are Burley and Lester both Hall of Famers for you?
First of all, how did Lester do? Because I didn't hear him, but he actually called me and asked me for some advice. So how did John do?
That's cool that he called and asked. He could talk more next time, I think. I think he was underplaying it a little bit. There's more personality to him than we heard, I would say.
Yeah, but listen, that's good because then, you know, a lot of times you get guys that won't stop talking, right? So under-talking, I'm good with that. So I'm glad he did it that way. That's because, you know, you get some guys that do it and they won't stop talking. So you're like, all right, someone needs to stop talking every once in a while. So I'm glad John did that. Listen, again, the Hall of Fame criteria has changed so much because, you know, listen, there's guys getting in now that I think 20, 30 years ago wouldn't have gotten in. And they're getting in now because the criteria has changed, whether it's war, whether it's this, whether it's that, whatever people are looking at. Do I think Mark Burley's a Hall of Famer? I mean, listen, he's one of the best teammates I've ever played with. He was a great pitcher for a long time. You know, he defined a generation there for, you know, 10 plus years. So, I mean, I thought that's the criteria you look for. Was he short on wins and short on ERA and all that? Sure, but he's also got a championship. He's got a perfect game. He's got a no-hitter. You know, through 200 innings every single year he was out there. So for me, I think he's definitely borderline trending up, you know, but I could say that make the same case for Paul Konerko. Now I've never dug into John Lester's stats as much as obviously I know Burley. I only played with John for half a year, but I mean, again, he was a dominant pitcher for a long, long time. You know, he's got World Series, he's got a no hitter. So again, what's the criteria? Because it seems to me that every Hall of Fame voter in every year, the criteria changes. It changes to who they want to fit in. Like Andrew Jones, I played with Andrew Jones, right? If he gets in, how do you not put Torrey Hunter in? Because their numbers, if you hold their numbers side by side, yeah, Andrew has him in homers, but Torrey's got him in a lot of other things. You know, they're like, oh, Andrew won 10 Gold Gloves. Like, well, Torrey won 9. You know, are you going to hold that against him or whatever the numbers are? So it's hard when you start nitpicking, and it really comes down to who do the writers want to put in and who do they not.
AJ, it's always great talking to you, man. We appreciate you. Congrats again on the huge success of Foul Territory and your fun. Did you give Lester any advice, by the way?
Oh, no, I forgot to call him back, so that one's on me. I apologize. I texted him about something else, and he's like, hey, I'm doing some games on Marquee. Can you call me? And I was doing something. I said, yeah, I'll call you later, and I just completely zooed it. So I owe him a phone call. I'm glad to hear he did well, though. I'm going to shoot him a text and say, damn, I forgot. I'm sorry I missed it.
Hey, AJ. That's amazing. And this appearance was so good. I'm going to weep again, man. That's how good this was. It doesn't take much, dude.
Well, I thought you were going to weep because aren't the White Sox losing again? So I figured have you gotten used to that by now?
No, we're pretty used to that.
Yeah, yeah, that's become familiar.
Thanks, man.
See you, man. That's AJ Pierzynski from Fox and Foul Territory. Always fun talking to that guy.
He knows I wasn't alone that day. But yeah, not him.
Make strikeouts matter.
Yeah, dude.
Well, your idea would obviously never happen of like punishing guys with money.
Right, but is there any way that we could make strikeouts matter more? Because he's right about that being the logic breakdown that kind of leads to everything else.
Right. If you hit a ground ball, it can be two outs. If you strike out, it's only one.
And not only that, as he's talking about, I'm thinking, also, you don't want a good ground ball rate. You know, you don't want a high ground ball rate. That could hurt you in arbitration. So I bet there's guys that think a strikeout is better than a single out ground ball. That it's better because people don't care about it when it comes to arbitration and getting paid.
When I first came in here, the strikeouts, they mattered so much. And then Crooked Joe and Crooked Theo took the strikeouts away. They took them away. They said, no, you can't have those. We're going to make them matter again.
All right. Well, so we got one person who's on board. It's a campaign to bring back the value of the strikeout.
Make the strikeouts matter again. MSM.
We'll figure out.
I don't know if I like that line.
Yeah, I don't know if I like it.
There is a little truth to it.
We'll see if we can come up with some suggestions. You could submit yours via the text line. We also have a lottery prize to give away today. The Illinois Lottery is celebrating a huge milestone. It's 50th anniversary. That's 50 years of playing, winning, and generating funding for good causes in Illinois. To kick off the 50th celebration, our friends at the Illinois Lottery are giving you a bundle of scratch-off tickets, specially created to celebrate the lottery's 50th anniversary. When you hear this, just call 312-540-0670 and you can get the lottery prize pack. In addition to the ideas about making strikeouts matter, there's a story that broke today that is really massive for your beloved game. Next on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Afternoons on the score.
The industry isn't very profitable, to be quite honest.
So this story, I think, is worth following. It's certainly not the most entertaining story in the world.
Oh, let me line up for it then.
Well, I'm just being honest on the front end.
Which is good. I think transparency is important.
Well, baseball's got a problem. It's got many. But did you see what Evan Drellick reported today?
I did.
In The Athletic?
I did.
Major League Baseball has decided to take luxury tax dollars and give them to teams that are losing their television money. So about a third of the league is losing its RSN deals.
It's regional sports network deals. It's a massive issue in the sport where the local TV revenue is flat out ceasing to exist for a lot of teams.
And so just to put it, to explain it as simply as possible why that matters, if you pay for Comcast, you pay the Cubs money, even if you never watch the Cubs. So if you cut the cord, the Cubs lose that money. Now, if you cut the cord but still want to watch the Cubs, you can pay for Marquee directly.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there are way more people that have Comcast than pay the Cubs directly for their direct-to-consumer streaming product.
Right, and this has been the model for decades and decades, that a team will use their RSN to hold a cable company hostage, so it has to be included in a sports tier that costs you an extra dollar or two, and most people are just like, okay, yeah, I guess so, that's fine. And then the cable company has paid the team a lot of money, so that the gangsters usually work out something like that. But as you say, the cord cutting has destroyed that model.
So they're going to take the luxury tax and they're going to say, you can get up to $15 million a team if you have lost money in local media revenue from 2023 or 2022.
So what they do is the money that the teams that spend over the tax, like this year the Mets and so many others, goes into a general fund, salute, and it gets split in half. The players keep half for their own pension.
Yep.
And then the owners with their other half usually just redistribute evenly. What you're talking about is this new thing where the players green-lighted the owners giving it to teams that lose TV
because
money.
The argument is Mets aren't struggling with money. They're happy to pay the tax. Teams that are losing, that aren't spending money and are losing on local television, they're going to spend even less money, and the players want that money to come back to the teams. The problem is, man, the math just... it doesn't work. And you know I'm as pro-player as anybody. This is not enough money.
Well, the players are like, oh, this is great. Yeah, absolutely. Give the teams each $15 million. That'll raise the...
it'll come back to us through salary.
Because the teams on the low end who don't like to spend will then get to do that. But you know that's not what a lot of those teams do with it.
Yeah, and there's just... so the Padres are leading the game in direct-to-consumer. No team in baseball has more people paying a team directly for its services. And they're at 40,000 subscribers. So 40,000 subscribers at less than $100 a year, call it $100 a year just to make the math easy.
It's $400,000.
No, it's $4 million.
That's like I said, it's $4 million. Good job, Shane.
But $4 million, that's nothing. For local TV revenue compared to what it used to be?
No, it's very little.
And the Padres are a small market. So that means the Cubs are getting significantly less than $4 million from its DTC. Now, for now, they're still on Comcast, but come back in September and we'll see. This used to be a mid-eight-figure source of revenue for these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, sport's going to have a work stoppage.
Oh, man. It's
unavoidable.
You've got a lot of teams on the lower end, like the Guardians and the Twins and others, who, as they're losing this local television money, it is directly impacting what they do on the field. The Twins flat out said they're not going to add payroll here at the deadline.
Yeah.
Twins are in a win now mode, having spent on Carlos Correa and others and made trades for pitchers, et cetera, and they're on the cusp, they're not going to spend at the deadline in part because of the loss of their television money. So the MLBPA, I see this gesture of the MLBPA allowing this to happen as a very good, healthy little gesture of goodwill. Both sides are going to have to do some things in this upcoming work stoppage to fix what has been a growing growing problem, which might be about to explode with the worst work stoppage we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's... I don't know what the solve is here. And someone would say, hey, why does this matter more for baseball? Well, they've got the most games, and they've got the smallest national television deals. It doesn't... We've talked about it all the time. It doesn't rate nationally. So ESPN and Turner and Fox, they pay for it because it's inventory and it's live and it's better than airing reruns of an old sitcom. But it doesn't make a ton of money nationally relative to the other sports. Whereas football, they make billions from their national TV deal. Basketball mm-hmm. just signed a huge, huge deal.
Basketball has unbelievably great national television money and is not nearly as dependent on their local RSNs, which are similarly crumbling.
Right. Exactly. Basketball RSNs are crumbling, but they depend less on the revenue from them, and there are fewer players to pay. So it's a different economic situation.
It's a much smaller infrastructure.
This is the backbone. This and ticket sales are the two backbones of how these teams make money. And so, you know me, man. Like, I'm like, hey, these teams make money. I'm anti-billionaire. They pay the players, all of those things. This is a real media collapse that is going to absolutely impact player salary.
Mm-hmm.
And players aren't going to like it. And they're going to be forced to like it because the teams are actually going to have a real case of saying, no. We are actually losing money because this revenue stream that didn't make any sense, by the way, you pay for cable and your money goes to a team even if you're not watching it. It didn't make sense. It was just an awesome sweetheart deal that they had for decades.
Because the way the industry was structured.
It's going away. I mean, same thing happens with ESPN. Layoffs at ESPN.
Yeah, you bet.
Because you're paying, if you pay for cable, you pay for ESPN. Even if you don't watch ESPN, people cut the cord. ESPN gets less money.
And so
people are getting laid off. It's not just happening to baseball, but if you rely on cable subscribers as your main thrust of revenue,
sure,
you're in trouble here.
We could zoom out and look at, the structure of the American economic system in general and realize how many things are getting sort of recalibrated and refigured out, whether it's the healthcare crisis, whether it is all the peer-to-peer services, the Ubers and the Airbnbs,
yeah.
Like the reformatting of our entire economy that's going on. It's like, a few decades from now, people are going to be doing things in very different ways. Like, the structure is kind of falling on a lot of different things. But going back to just baseball in a bubble and this next work stoppage, I'm telling you, man, I advocated for it last time, and people hated on me because it comes off as anti-player. But they need a salary cap and a salary floor like every other damn sport. You have to lock it in. And I know the players don't want to lock in a salary cap because they want those renegades to drive things up. And I get it. But you're not going to get a salary floor, which you want and you should have, in my opinion,
yeah,
without a cap. Real cap, real floor, like every other sport. And it would change things greatly. It would damage a lot of things, but it would make things more equitable overall and make for a better long-term health. Now, along with that, you'd have some of those small market teams say, well, we can't do business like that.
Then they'll sell the team.
They would sell the team.
They'd sell the team to a billionaire who'd be happy to, because of the vanity of owning a team and being relevant and goodwill and celebrity and all the things that come with it.
Right.
Right. You're an anonymous tech billionaire or something like that. And then, you get to own the team in your hometown and you get to matter.
And a lot of those smaller market income owners are getting ready to do just that. Like the Reinsdorf children, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a
good band, by the way, the Reinsdorf Children. I saw them at Lounge Axe.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe you. I think we should help Shane out. I think he needs our help. Shane needs our help.
People. I always like to help Shane.
Put out a bat signal to the mob. Shane needs our help next on The Score.
Hey everybody, we are live.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
We're having a little fun.
Here's Shane Reardon, one of the more popular personalities in all of Chicago, a wonderful gentleman. It's an honor to be his friend. Oh, and Shane falls on the concrete.
To be fair, all of George Bliss's friends somehow end up falling on the concrete. It's just something that happens.
It's a weird way to choose your friends.
I know.
But, you know, man loves softball. He goes to play around sidewalks.
Part of the price.
He popped right back up, though.
Yeah, real quick. That's the athlete in me.
Yeah. The falling. What's the falling in you?
Cleats on cement.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was
chasing after a foul ball, trying to be an athlete.
Could happen to any athlete. Sure. You are going to Greece soon.
Yeah,
we think.
Yeah, we think.
Wait, I think
this trip has been planned for a long time.
Yeah, he's going to be in the musical Grease. That's what you said, right? He's going to be in. He's playing Danny in the musical Grease.
I'm actually Sandy, but thank you for remembering that. It's a 2024. You could be whomever you'd like.
Yeah, I am hopelessly devoted.
So I'm her. Yes. So I should be going to Greece, and I will be going to Greece at the end of the month.
The end of August.
At the end of August. I mean, not even the end. It's through the end of August. It's a little. I'm leaving on the 17th, and it's almost, you know, we're really close here.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I'm talking like 3 months, I applied to renew my passport. And passports are very finicky here, as we know. You should do it like 6 months out. I didn't have that much time. I was told about the trip in, I don't know, middle of March. And then we couldn't find my original passport. Parents looked for it, found it, applied right after that. It's still not here. My passport has not arrived. I know that we are lucky enough in Chicago to have a passport agency, a passport office. It's one of very few in the entire country. You hear horror stories of people having to drive like 10, 11 hours just to go get a same day or very rushed passport.
Right over there on LaSalle and Wells.
In Congress, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Right over. I've looked the watch, Ida B. Wells, I promise. Yeah. Yes. So I know that since I have proof of travel, I can make an appointment at the passport agency within 14 days of me leaving. And if all goes well, and it should, they can give me one day of. I don't want to wait for 14 days. So I'm looking for tips about getting it before that 14 days or getting into the passport office before the 14 days. Some people have suggested go ahead and book yourself a whole ass refundable international flight for sooner, so you can prove that, hey, I'm going in 14 days,
oh,
and then
wow,
get a refund on the flight. But I'm not going to pay
thousands
for an international flight within 2 weeks of me leaving and then have
just to
cancel it just to get a passport. My girlfriend doesn't want to wait the 14 days or wait until I'm in the 14-day window. I'm patient enough to where I can, and I'm trying to trust the process here and just trying to be the positive voice. I understand why she's so worried.
I absolutely
understand why she's worried.
But okay, so
I'm looking for solutions on how to get the passport or get an appointment at the office before the 14-day window opens.
Got it, because I have direct experience with allowing it to come down to within the week and needing to hustle over to the office and making that happen to the point that we asked our engineer, Rich Wyatt, to go do it for me.
We didn't ask him. You asked him.
Yeah, you
don't
asked
put that on us.
You paid him,
Bobby.
Though, right?
I did pay
him. Yeah, you paid him.
I did pay him. Well,
it worked.
It worked. It worked like a champ. So I share your faith in the system, having used the system.
Just trying to have faith. Because our systems
are crumbling.
Everyone has told me, don't worry. As long as you get the appointment within that 14 days, they're going to give you a passport day of. You might have to pay like $150 or like $200, something like that. I don't remember what you paid, Speaks, but like around there.
Well, his tip was exorbitant to Rich.
I'm trying to
You're
going to
go yourself, right?
I brought him a bottle of rum back from the Dominican.
You're not going to send Kevin Lapka to
I'm
do
not
it for
gonna
you?
I'm not going to send Kevin Lapka. No, I do. I barely even wanted to send Peter for lunch when we were at Wrigley. I was going to go do it. I don't like doing that. But I'm looking for tips on how to get in there sooner, or even connections.
Basically,
that's legal. That's not Pluggola or Payola. This is the government.
You're just looking for an appointment.
Yeah, I'm looking
for. I was asking for the government to pay you out, not an independent business.
Just walk down to the FCC office that we have down there and ask them to put you in touch with the passport guy.
Yeah, man.
I think you're gonna be.
I'm stressed out.
I think you're gonna be fine.
It's a trip of a lifetime to Greece. I'm not gonna miss it because I didn't have my passport.
Not gonna miss it.
There are like some
they want you in Greece.
There are some travel offices, like travel companies, that will do it for an expedited fee. That's what my brother was telling me to do at the time, and like he was going to offer to pay the crazy expedited fee.
It's like $600.
Yes,
and I've read on like the Better Business Bureau, a lot of those companies have a crap rating, and all the reviews say scam. Grandma got scammed.
Totally agree. It felt completely sketchy, so I ended up doing the waiting thing. But you want to try and get there early. A bunch of people are texting that he should call his congressman.
Have more things to do.
I would not like our congressman to help him.
Yeah.
Not because of you.
You know, I don't want anything free. I just want an appointment outside of the 14-day window. I want to get this nailed down before that 14-day window opens up. So we leave August 17th, so August 3rd, which is, a Saturday.
Yes.
So I'm missing, I'm losing 2 days in that 14-day window because they don't have weekend appointments.
Well, that's, no matter when the day is, you would be losing 2 days because it's 2 weeks.
Well,
there's always going to be weekend days where it's closed.
Two of them.
Yeah.
That's not true because the 5th could be the start of my window, but the 3rd is the start of my window. So the 5th could be the start of my window. Then I'd have 10 business days before I was leaving.
Several people now saying calling the congressman or your federal senator. Can you imagine bothering Dick Durbin about this? Excuse me, Mr. Durbin. Trying to get a passport.
When you call your congressman, they often don't pick up. No. Normally, they have someone in their office that would handle it. I don't think this would get to the congressman.
Yeah, probably not.
They're all saying calling the congressman works.
It's another passport call.
What about, did you call Roshan Johnson yet?
I haven't called Roshan.
Senator!
Hey, Governor.
Governor! Slayer!
It's not a bad idea.
No, it is a pretty good idea.
Yeah, Roshan Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a tracking number on your passport order?
So yeah, that's all fine, but it's not like they lost it because I paid to expedite it.
They lost
it? So when I called, they said, no, we have no record of you either applying or paying to expedite it.
Oh, wow. So that's
done. That's done. I'm now transitioned over to, well, they told me you're just going to have to reapply as a new person within that 14-day window at the agency.
Creating
at the
a new person. It's like, okay.
As a new applicant, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
sure.
No, I like it.
A texter says the solution is to get a more chill girlfriend and go
go in
within 14 days.
No. She's more chill about it than I'm being, but she's nervous like I am.
Yeah, well, she should chill.
She's very chill.
Okay. So you're out on the girlfriend swap.
All right.
You're out on that.
I don't want it. This is the last one I want. Yeah, okay. I'm good with this one.
All right, good choice.
All right. Well, you asked for suggestions.
So people are saying they walked into the passport office, but it very clearly says, person 847, you can't walk in. It says it's strictly barred. No walk-ins.
But
online
you haven't
only.
Tried.
I haven't tried yet, but the website says don't do it.
I think you can walk in, make an appointment, then walk out, then go back when your appointment is. I think you can do that.
They told me I can only do the appointment online.
Yeah. So you know,
I can't even go through the appointment application because they make you put in, like, when's your travel date? So I put in August 17th. They're like, hey, come back later and make an appointment. You can't make one yet.
Do you know anyone who does forgeries? People are saying this is Chicago. Someone can get you a passport.
I don't really want to get stuck in Greece. I mean, it would be a good place to get stuck. I want to come back.
Here's an airline employee texting in. Please don't use a third-party company, nor call a political figure. Your only option, besides the waiting period, is to buy a fully refundable ticket to Canada or somewhere not as costly, and this will work. We see it all the time, says the airline employee. And the airlines have been very reputable of late.
Yeah, they're crushing it.
Yeah, they're killing it. But yes, I wonder.
Wheels are rarely falling off. Doors are rarely blowing off. Yeah.
What about like a train ticket to Canada? How cheap is that? Book a train ticket to Canada and a hotel. A motel.
If you're getting
6.
It back, it doesn't matter. You're never going to fly again internationally. I like that. That's the best way to do it, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be. I think that might be the play. Well, if I can't get in before the 14 days.
Does the refund come in travel credit or do you actually get the money back? Because travel
probably
credit
depends on who you book it with, which airline, right?
Yeah. I mean,
they probably all have their own policies.
Here's a tremendous suggestion. How about calling your friend Joe West and seeing if anybody in his posse that you're a part of might be able to help you out?
773 here says expedite it through the post office. That's what I did first. I paid the $60 to expedite, and I had a friend who did that for Ireland and got his in 2 weeks, but mine, they lost. They have no record of it.
I think they're just a bad outfit.
Yeah, I agree, Joe.
Oh, the bad outfit. It's been way too long since we had a Joe West check-in. I'd love to know what he thinks about this.
Yeah, but I mean, the last one didn't seem terribly positive, if I remember correctly.
No, there is upset.
Yeah, no, we haven't talked in a while.
Yeah,
we haven't talked in a while. The last thing I told him was I did send the audio to his attorney.
I think Greece is not at risk. I don't think your trip is at risk here. I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I feel confident about that. I think booking the trip, if you're willing to go through that Michigas, and also calling your senator or asking Peter Hansen to call your senator.
Maybe. These people like asking if I have the receipt. I do have the receipt. The money's not the problem. Like I can, it's like $120 if you get it same day. That's whatever.
Congrats on your success.
Appreciate that. I make so much money. But I just don't want to have to tell my girlfriend, hey, you got to take someone else to this free trip to Greece.
I don't want that to happen to you either.
No, me neither.
Exactly.
That'd be a real bummer.
Yeah, it would. Well, yeah, we have so many things planned.
So yeah, maybe buy like a $500 plane ticket to Mexico one way, and then just be sure that the airline will refund for cash.
Sure, yeah.
Not travel credit.
That might be it.
Okay.
That might be it.
Lou Kanellis to help out in any sort of fashion?
Lou has already given me recommendations for Greece. I don't want to ask him to also get me a passport.
Is he going to get you a job at the embassy?
I hope so.
Honestly, Congress is not doing really anything productive. Maybe bother them too.
Yeah, no,
I might try that tomorrow.
Call a congressman on the air.
That's what they're for. You know what else are they? What else are they gonna do?
I think laws.
For these people calling right now, I'll pick you up during the break.
Okay. Well, you want to talk about Hard Knocks liabilities from the Bears? Finally,
I'm in. I'm ready.
All right, we'll do it next on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.